Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friday Food Fight, where we are defining the daily struggle to keep food safe. I am your host, Wes Christian, and each week we will be interviewing special guests from across the country who are doing amazing work in the food service industry. So sit back and enjoy this special episode brought to you by Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host for this week, and we are joined once again by Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker. And we've got a very interesting topic, and today's topic is actually really in response to a lot of questions that we've been getting asked about this topic from our customers. And specifically, what we're going to be going into today is virtual trainings, and how do we perform a back-to-school virtual training with our staff if maybe our district or our state has said that we can't do in-person meetings for the start of the school year. So how do we make that an easy process? It can be a little intimidating for some, but we're going to walk you through some tools and some tips and different strategies that you can use to really feel confident going into that virtual back-to-school meeting. So without further ado, Bart, how you doing today, man?
Doing great, man. I'm a little intimidated about being on a show about technology. as you know, I am not techno challenged, but I am certainly struggling techno wise some days.
Well, hopefully after we have this discussion, I've got some notes here that I've put together, and hopefully after this, not only you but everyone watching this will feel much more confident going into the virtual meetings and using some of these technology tools, because surprisingly, they're a lot easier to use than a lot of people think. It's really more of the intimidation going into the fact. Or going into the matter that really gets people versus the difficulty of it once you actually get in there and start using it. So
yeah, I don't think many people realize that most folks have a production studio in their pocket. They just don't,
exactly.
They just don't realize it, and that's one of the things you've taught me is that there's a lot of power in that little phone that we carry around and just make calls on.
Right. Yeah, you can make the process really complex if you want to. I mean, there's obviously tons of really expensive, fancy cameras and devices and things of that nature that you can, you know, hook up and learn how to use. But in order to accomplish what most of us are really wanting to accomplish, which is to just get the information in the hands of our staff and our team members in an effective manner, it's really easy. And just like you said, a lot of us have that studio actually right here. These devices, these cell phones, regardless of whether it's an Android or an iPhone, the cameras on them are absolutely fantastic, and a lot of times are actually better quality cameras and better quality microphones than the camera on your computer. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of go into some of these different things today, but just to kind of get us kicked off, what are some things? I know you do a lot of speaking, and you've got some, you know, kind of back to school meetings planned where districts have asked you to do back to school meetings virtually for them. Talk to me a little bit about what that process for you personally has looked like, and maybe some of the intimidation that you had initially that we talked about prior to this, just to kind of help people out.
Well, I think one of the biggest hurdles I had to overcome in my mind was talking to nobody. You know, you're talking to the camera or your computer or your phone, and you got to kind of get over that hurdle of there's nobody really in front of you. As far as that for me, because being a speaker who really feeds off of the energy of the audience, that was a bit of a struggle for me. But once I got over that and realized that and did a few things and realized that people liked it, I got over the having to be perfect. Yesterday, made a short, brief 5-minute video. I reshot it about 5 or 6 times because to me, it just wasn't perfect. And I let my wife listen to the first couple I did. She goes, there's nothing the matter with these. They're fine. Mm. And I think that's sometimes you have to understand that good enough is good enough. And it does have to be perfect. And but those are the two biggest struggles for me to get over. But as far as reception goes, the ones that I've done, people have loved.
Yeah, I think it's important to note what you just said there about it not having to be perfect, because I think that something is better than nothing. So, you know, if you just put something together and get it out to your staff, maybe it's an update or it's a full day training in some way, something in their hands to start this year off and pull us all together and give us that feeling of connection, I think is an important thing, even if it is virtual.
Well, and I'll tell you something. I'm a little OCD perfectionist, and I'm a recovering perfectionist. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. And because I found that perfectionism lended itself to procrastination. And so what I would find myself doing is wanting it to be so perfect and not been, that I would procrastinate doing it and put myself up against a little bit of a wall as far as time goes. And getting over that, having to be perfect was huge, because now I can just put things together. And I've actually, you know, this is a little arrogant, but I feel like I've gotten pretty good at doing it. But it's because of practice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, one other thing, you know, before we jump into some of these tools that I'll mention is that, you know, if you're watching this video and you're thinking, well, I'm not a director or I'm not going to be doing a back to school meeting, so this doesn't apply to me. The tools that we're going to go through can really apply to anything. So just keep that in mind as we go through some of these things. It doesn't have to be applied to a back to school meeting. It could be an ongoing training. If you're a training coordinator or a supervisor that wants to communicate throughout the course of the year with your staff, all of these different skills and tips that we're going to go through really will help with all of those meetings ongoing throughout the school year. And it also would help on a personal note as well. So if you're just looking to reconnect with maybe loved ones that are across the country and you want to do a virtual meeting and have the whole family join in, you can apply all of these to that. So, just to jump into a couple of these tools, Bart, talk to me a little bit about your experience. I know this is a household name or a household word at this point, but talk to me about Zoom for a second. And your experience with that?
Well, my experience with Zoom has been very interesting because, you know, when I first was introduced to Zoom, we were doing one-on-one, one-on-two kind of talks with talking to each other. And it was just to connect with people remotely when you couldn't do it face-to-face, which obviously is all we're in right now. I've been on Zooms now that have had as many as 500 or 600 people on it. And it takes... It takes a little bit of getting used to with Zoom, because the thing I see with Zoom is that people make a couple of big mistakes. Number one is they do this when they're talking. Mm-hmm. They're like this when they're talking. That's one thing. And the other thing is that people talk over each other. So every Zoom meeting needs a moderator. And if you have to have somebody that's going to be there. So if you have 19 people start talking at one time, somebody can mute everybody and tell them, we're going to take you one at a time, and teach them how to raise their hand, because there's a function on Zoom where you can actually raise your hand. The moderator sees it, and then they can unlock your audio so that you can talk. I found that meetings that are handled like that are much more productive than these just free flow and everybody talking over everybody kind of thing. And, you know, another thing with Zoom too is that I see a lot of different lighting. Sometimes you can't see people, you know, it's either dark or it's so bright behind them that you can't see them. So I think it's very important to just pay attention to your picture that you can see. I mean, I can see my picture here and I see that the lighting looks good and that kind of thing. So pay attention to those kind of things. I think those are three big tips for Zoom.
Yeah, I think those are great tips. And a couple of things that people might not know about Zoom is, first and foremost, if you're just looking to have a really high quality Zoom meeting and you just want your image and your audio to be really good, try using a headset. A lot of people neglect the power of using a headset, whether it's, you know, something that's wireless, like what I've got in my ear so that I can hear you, Bart, or if it's something that is wired, both of which are going to give you better audio, allow you to hear. And it's also a lot of them have the built-in microphone, which is going to be a higher quality microphone than what is on your computer. And then when you're talking about, you know, not being so close to the computer, that will actually also allow you to be able to sit back, have good posture, because if you are working from home or you have people sitting through a long meeting, you obviously want to be considerate of the fact that, you know, they might not have the most, flexible or comfortable working environment from their home. So we want to, you know, either make things short trainings, or we want to allow them to not have to be hunched over the whole time and be able to sit up and have that nice posture. Another thing with the lighting that you mentioned, I think that's really great also. The one thing that I see people do a lot is that they have backlighting, which really just washes you out and makes you blend in. Instead, you want to have lighting in front of you. So if you've got a, if you're going to be doing a Zoom meeting or any type of meeting and you want to have a good lit face and you want to be able to see yourself in the video, make sure that the camera is sitting in between you and a source of light, whether it be an open window or it be a lamp or something along those lines. But you want that light shining on your face because that's actually going to give you a more well-lit area. And it's also not going to wash you out in the background like if you had a window behind you, for instance.
Exactly. And, you know, there are lots of cool little tools that you can, a lot of people think you got to have a setup to do that. You know, you can go on Amazon, and I bought a couple of things that were cheap. I mean, I'm talking, if you're wanting to do something to have it look not necessarily professional, but look good. You know, like you said, a lamp, an open window works great. But now I've also found little tools like this thing right here is a little, it's a mini studio. It's got, you basically have a remote control on it. You can let the legs down. Mm-hmm. And let all the legs, and it's got, and you put some, mount your phone on it like so. And you've got a studio. You've even got a light up here. You can turn a light on. And this thing costs $20. So if you've got we can put something about this in the show notes, Wes, if you want to put that link on there for Amazon. But I bought this little thing, and suddenly I became much more, everything looked better. I was able to set my camera up. I didn't have it leaning on a book or something. I set something so it was in my face a little better, and it just made a big difference. And you know, I think little things like this, if you want, are small investments that you can make that will help your production, because like you said, the phone's going to be a great source of, going to be a great tool for you.
Right. And then there's also a couple of things that you can utilize, because some people might be watching this and saying, well, I don't want to do the whole meeting on my phone. I want to have my computer and share slides, or I want to be able to, you know, kind of walk people through a presentation, but I also want a good video, or maybe I don't have a webcam built in on my computer. So I need an external camera to be able to hook up. Zoom actually allows you to hook up your camera and or hook up your cell phone to your computer and use your camera as a webcam. Now you do have to have a piece of software. Most of them are free or very inexpensive. But there's a couple of them that I found. The one is called iCam. If you're using a iOS device, it's a free app. You download it and it will actually turn your cell phone, your iPhone, into a webcam and allow you to connect it to your computer. And then another one is Epcot. That one is for Android and also for iPhones. And that one will do the exact same thing if you've got an Android device and allow you to use that cell phone as that external webcam. So that's an option for you if you're watching this thinking, well, I don't have a webcam on my computer. Just turn your cell phone into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's two, we're talking about two different sets of people here too. You've got a moderator who's going to be moderating, who would want to share slides and things like that. And then, or either you've got an attendee, and an attendee could you know that their setup could be quite different than the moderator. So if they could, the phone would work perfect for them just to be a part of something. But I just think that's, you know, the setup is going to depend on who you are, I think, in the meeting too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, Zoom is not the only tool out there. It is the one that has gotten a lot of media attention recently. But there are other options for you if you just don't like Zoom, or maybe your district has blocked Zoom for whatever reason. A couple of other ones for you are GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a paid meeting space where you can have a group of people come into the meeting. But again, it is a paid version. There is no free version that I'm aware of for GoToMeeting. Meeting like there is with Zoom. However, if you're going to be doing a group meeting with Zoom, it's important to note that the meeting can be no longer than 40 minutes if you've got more than two people on the call. So you would need a paid account if you were going to have an all-team meeting or something along those lines if a lot of people are going to be watching the video. Another two more options for you are Google Meets. That's, I believe, a free account also. And then there's also Microsoft Teams. Obviously, Microsoft Teams is going to be a little bit more of a technical adventure. So it might be something that the district has brought on and set up for you, but there's definitely going to be a little bit more technical know-how that will be needed in order to use the Microsoft Teams product. But all four of those are really, or excuse me, all four of those, Zoom, GoToMeetings, Google Meets, and Microsoft Teams are really great tools if you are looking to do one of those meetings with your staff.
Yeah, and you can, and can't you record meetings with all those so you can send, you can have it for other people to look at it later if they don't make the meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. So Zoom and GoToMeeting are the two I'm the most familiar with. I'm sure that you can do the same thing with Google Meets and Microsoft Teams. But with Zoom, there's a record button right on the screen right before you either share your screen or something along those lines. But there's a red record button, and that will actually record it either to your device or it will record it to your Zoom cloud if you have a paid account. And then GoToMeeting does the exact same thing. It'll save to your device, and then you can share that video in an MP4 format after the meeting has been concluded. Now, we've mentioned a couple of different tools for meetings here. There's also some free options out there that don't allow you really the meeting advantage, but they can be utilized very similar to Zoom and things of that nature. If you are open to maybe doing a live stream for your employees, as opposed to doing a quote unquote Zoom meeting type thing. And what I'm referring to here is the ability to use things like Vimeo or YouTube in order to host a meeting, have your employees watch it, or you could even embed it onto a website or a different page, and you can make that video an unlisted video for your staff to be able to view, and it's not going to be a public video for the world to be able to find. It would only be accessible by people that would have the link. So that's another option for people that maybe don't want to use Zoom, or those options have been blocked by their district, or they don't have the paid versions, and they just want to do something that is a free option. One of the things here is we'll talk about equipment for a second. Bart, talk to me about your equipment adventures and kind of what you have, kind of the evolution that you've gone through in the past months, because it's really been a night and day a difference between the quality of the videos and I think your confidence with using those technology pieces. So what kind of things have you added on your end? We talked about lighting and the stand, but what other things have you added or have you adopted to really make this live streaming process a lot easier?
Well, I think you use the word journey, which is exactly what it's been. You know, I started off with the phone, using the stand, using the wired microphone, you know, using this, you know, and then I advanced to using a little bit better phone. I put it in my computer, my stick into my phone because it gives me better sound. I did that. So, you know, and then as we started doing this podcast and started doing these things, you know, I realized that I needed a little bit better lighting. So I got a little bit better lighting. You taught me how to use my webcam and use my computer as basically a little studio. I started doing that, and now I've stepped up to, I just purchased a DSLR camera so that I can have better video, because I've been asked by many, many associations and districts across the country to do virtual meetings for them at some point over the next few months. And I realized that if I was going to start doing things like that, I needed to step up my game a little bit. The things I bought were only because I needed it for our business. But I think, you know, we got to the point where this computer is working just great for this. I'm using the webcam on the screen. I'm using it, you know, the phone has worked great for me too. One of the things I've learned is that sometimes when you're doing a meeting, I found a app that's very neat that you might want to put in the show notes, Wes. It's called Big View, BIGVU. It's an app that's on the Apple App Store, and I believe it's on the Google App Store too. But what you can do is it'll actually, when you're shooting something on your screen, you can actually have a teleprompter. So if you want to talk and not have, obviously you can have slides, but then they can't see you. So if you want to talk and you want to be sure that you hit your points, it basically scrolls across the screen in front of you talking at whatever pace you want it to scroll. And then you've got your script there. I found that to be very helpful for things I really wanted to be sure that I hit my points on. It's something you can put on your phone screen. You just put your front-facing camera on. It scrolls across, or you can do it on an iPad or any of that kind of stuff. Right. Any kind of tablet.
No, that's great. I think that's a big view. I really like that. That would make, if you've got notes, like you said, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure you don't forget something, that would make that process a lot easier.
Right. And you want to do something like this versus have, because I've done this. I'm doing work on something right now where I've got PowerPoint slides, and I'm gonna. Right. One thing a lot of people don't realize with their computer too is if you're using Microsoft Office, you can record your PowerPoint. You can speak your PowerPoint, record your PowerPoint as you're given it. And then when you do your virtual meeting, instead of having the possibility of technology problems or something not working, you know, record that presentation and then just play it. Right. And then you've got, I'm doing a meeting for very shortly for a state association where I'm doing that. I'm going to give the meeting taped or the session already filmed, and then I'm going to be online afterward to answer questions and have a little Q&A. And that's going to hopefully prevent any hiccups.
Yeah. You mentioned, hiccups and technology challenges. One question that we actually have gotten a lot here recently, and I'm looking at it right here, is what do I do if I run into a technology problem and I've got my entire team on a call? And what type of suggestions would you have for folks? I've got a few techie type suggestions for overcoming those, but what kind of suggestions from a confidence and a staying calm perspective would you have for people?
Well, the first thing is expect problems. Don't be surprised by problems. Be surprised when there are no problems. And I think that's going to be your best start off point, because you know, you and I have done enough of these that we know that a problem happens at the worst time. In the middle of some of the best comments, and you just got to take a deep breath, and you know it may if you're an attendee and things die out, it may mean that you need to just log off and log back on. May mean you need to restart your computer. Yesterday, I mean, when we were doing our Zoom last week, that happened to me. I basically had to restart my computer, and I was off of the screen for about 30-ish seconds. And but it's just what happens. You know, I think if you're a moderator, and that maybe you might want to lay the ground rules out to begin with. If you feel like that's going to be a problem, or if you've got a lot of people and you just want to anticipate the problem, lay it out to begin with. Should there be an issue, you know, everybody, you know, should something happen, everybody log off, you know, count to 10 and log back on. That gives the moderator a chance to log off and log back on, because sometimes things just happen. You know, if there's a right. if there's a glitch on the moderator's end, everything could go dead.
Right. Yeah. A couple of tips I've got from a techie side that you could check in on ahead of time to really ensure that everything runs smoothly, and also kind of some troubleshooting things that you can do in the course of a meeting just to make things get back up and on track a little bit quicker. The first thing is, before you have the meeting, make sure that you've closed out all of the unnecessary applications or programs that you have running on your computer. That is going to use CPU power, which is just a techie term that we use for basically the number of workspaces that we've got. So if you can imagine a table, and you're working on a table, and you open up all these different programs, well, you're going to fill that table up really quickly. But if you start removing some of those different items, close out some of those programs, your table opens back up, and you've got a lot bigger workspace to work with. And it's ultimately going to make your computer run faster. So that's the first tip that I would have. Close out the unnecessary programs or applications for the meeting. The second thing is, check your internet speed ahead of time. I can't tell you how many meetings you and I have had, Bart, where we've had a guest on and we've had just really, really poor quality from the stream. And ultimately what we've done is had either ourselves or our guests move to another location and try it again with a different internet connection. And ultimately that tends to resolve the problem. A lot of times if you're using using a district Wi-Fi or you're in a remote area and you maybe don't have a very strong signal for your internet, try using your cell phone and creating a hotspot on your cell phone and connecting that way. Now, the best way to check your internet speed is a free speed test, and you can go to speedtest.net, and you can just, there's a little button that'll show up that says go right on the middle of the screen. You click go, and it will tell you what your upload and your download speed is. Now, the important thing to note is that the download speed is irrelevant for this. Download is going to be what actually causes programs and applications and documents to download to your computer. The important number on that speed test to pay attention to is the upload. Upload is going to be the power that your internet has to take whatever you're connecting with, your camera, your microphone, compress and encode that signal, and then send it out to all of your employees. So I usually recommend having no less than 4 megabytes of upload speed. You can make it work with 2 megabytes, but you might find that it's choppy, that it's a little grainy. If you have 4 megabytes or higher for your upload speed, you're going to be good to go for a Zoom meeting, and your staff and your employees are not going to have any problems. You're not going to look choppy, and you'll have good audio the entire time. The other thing with these meetings, whether it's YouTube, Zoom, or anything else that you're utilizing to connect with your staff, be calm. And like Bart said a second ago, don't worry, expect problems. Don't worry if something does come up. Just let everyone know that obviously this is a new way of displaying or conveying information to them. So we might run into a couple of hiccups. If that's the case, then what we're going to do is just restart the meeting and have everyone either log back in, worst case scenario, or a lot of times what you can do is you can just log yourself out and then log back in, or you can even have a second device with you if you want, if you have that accessible to you, and that one can be pulled up and ready to go should you have an issue with your primary one. So just a couple of tips for folks.
Let's talk catastrophic failure. Okay. Because I had that happen on a meeting not too very long ago that I was on, and there was about 12 people on it. And the guy that was moderating the meeting told us right up front, he said, Janina, I'm not really, my internet speed for some reason today is not very good. So if something happens, he said, on the Zoom meeting, this particular was a Zoom meeting, but on both Zoom and GoToMeeting, you have an access phone number as well that you have on the invite. And he said, should something go down, he said, and I'm thinking that there's a good chance that it could, he said, just call back in. He said, and we'll resume the meeting on the phone. And that's what they, and that's what we did. That's exactly what happened. One of the things too, I think that people don't really realize is that, you know, when you're talking about using your cell phone as a hotspot, which most smartphones now have that capability, particularly iPhones. And, you don't get charged. I had somebody tell me the other, I made that recommendation. They said, well, I'll get charged for my data. You don't get charged for upload. You get charged for download. Everything is your downloads. It's your gigabytes of download. So I found that, you know, a lot of times when I'm in a sketchy area, I've actually done meetings with my cell phone, using my computer, but using my cell phone as a hotspot. And it does not affect my data usage at all. I use Verizon, so that may be a Verizon thing, but I think that's mostly everybody, that they mostly charge you for. They're wanting to get you for streaming movies and things like that. They're not really that concerned about what you send off.
Right. That's a great tip, and I hadn't even thought about that one. Just in kind of closing here, I'd love to talk about, and we briefly kind of touched on it, confidence behind the lens. You talked about, you know, looking at the camera and, you know, making sure that we had good lighting, that we felt confident. But a lot of people might be intimidated by speaking to a camera. What are some things that we can do to get our mind right going into the meeting and really feel confident doing a virtual meeting or really even an in-person meeting for that matter? What are some confidence tips that you got for everyone?
Well, I think, you know, one of the biggest things is you need to look good. I think like anything else, you know, just because you're at home or just because you're not in front of somebody, you want to look good. So I think it's important that you wear something you feel you look good in, you in a backdrop behind, in front of a backdrop that you feel confident with. I think that's going to help, number one. I think another thing is, if you are the moderator, you want to be sure that you practice your session, you know, or at least go over your notes. You know, if it's going to be free flowing, like what we do here is kind of a free flowing exchange, but we have a, but we have an outline of what we want to cover, you know, right. So you want to be sure of that. You want to be sure you under, if you're the moderator, you want to be sure you understand the tool that you're going to use. Don't make it your first time, you know, practice, you know, you right. and I have been on practicing a few things. You want to practice the tool to make sure of that. And as far as confidence in front of the camera, I think that, that for me, it was one of the most uncomfortable things to do was to talk to the camera. Just, I mean, I talk to people, I can talk to 5,000 people, no problem. Talking to this little hole in my computer was difficult. So this is what I did to kind of overcome that nervousness, as I started making a lot of just little videos. I take my phone, I do the front facing camera, I'd hold it up and I would just start shooting videos and talking. And then I, you know, eventually advanced to getting me this little stick, but I just started making short videos. I started speaking my heart and talking to people, and I would send them to friends, or I would I eventually started posting them on Facebook. But that's the best way to get used to, is just to make stuff, just to do things, Because the more you get used to talking to that little box and this little hole in the a hole in the computer, the more comfortable you'll be. But, you know, and the great thing about Zoom is you can see other people's face. The great thing about GoToMeeting is you see other people's face, you know, if you want to use that. So, and that helps a lot too.
Right. Yep. Yep. I agree. Yeah, and that was the last kind of closing notes that I had here were, you know, just kind of recap a couple of things that we've already talked about, and you just touched on a couple of them as well. But just a couple of tips to kind of summarize all of this for everyone. First and foremost, there's lots of tools out there. You can use Zoom, YouTube, Vimeo, Twitch, GoToMeeting, Google Meets, Microsoft Teams. You don't really need a whole lot of equipment. You can turn your iPhone or your Android phone into a webcam to prepare and be confident ahead of time. Make sure you practice, like Bart's talking about. Look in the camera. Don't be too close to the camera. And make sure that you understand how to utilize the technology going into the meeting prior to discovering and figuring it out while you're on your first call with all of your team. Also, make sure that the lighting is good. You want lighting behind the camera or the computer versus behind you. That's going to give better lighting on your face. Also, want to make sure that you come prepared. Feeling confident is really just when you have prepared, you know the material, and you know how to use the technology. You're just going to sit down and have a conversation at that point versus having all of these different things bouncing around in your mind about all the things that could go wrong. Expect challenges, too.
I'll tell you this. Anxiety and frustration in a meeting almost always are the result of a lack of preparation. And that's when I'm the most anxious and the most frustrated about a meeting that I'm, how something's going. And I really take a deep breath and ask myself a simple question. How much did I prepare for this?
Right.
And oftentimes I'm anxious because I didn't really prepare that much for it. And I got to tell you one other thing, and that's, you talking about looking at the camera. I see so many people, I see so many Zoom meetings where the moderator, you know, okay, so I'm looking at the camera now, but now I'm not. And you can tell that I'm not, right?
Right.
And in the Zoom meeting, you might have several people across the screen, and you may be looking at them as you're talking to the people. And that's great. But everybody that sees you doing this, you need to be sure you're doing this. And that's looking right into the camera. You know, let them see your smiling face. And that's one another thing is smile. Smile as much as you can because, you know, these are tough times. People are anxious anyway about things, and they need to see a smiling face. And so you know, be sure, no matter what information you're delivering, do it in a positive manner because that's going to be engaging. Your smile's going to be engaging. Your eye contact's going to be engaging to the audience. And I think those are just huge things to do in any kind of virtual meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just in the last comment here, if you're wondering, you know, well, how do I get this information out to my staff, or I'm concerned about, you know, tracking and being able to make sure of who all was on the meeting. For all of our school food handler customers, we do have a feature that will allow you to embed these meetings into the website, so you can actually have everyone log into their account, and then they can actually record this onto their report afterwards, or you can take an attendance roster inside the website also, and then just add that for everyone at the same time. And there are videos on our Help Center on how to do this that we've just created, as it is a brand new feature to really help out with these back-to-school meetings if you are planning on doing them virtually. So Bart, any last closing comments or anything that you have for everyone before we part ways?
No, just don't be afraid of doing this. I was afraid of doing it. I was actually very fearful of getting in front of a camera. I have no idea why, don't understand it, but it was there. And it went away the more I did it. And so that's the one tip I'd leave you with. It's just, you know, my grandfather told me this. He said, the thing you're most scared of is sometimes the thing you need to absolutely go and do. And if you're, and in this day and age, if you're afraid of getting in front of the camera, or afraid of, have a anxiety about that, that's absolutely what you have to do, because moving forward, this is going to be the future for the foreseeable future. And, and I think it's a, if you can master this medium, you can be very successful at making your team feel like a team again.
Right. Right. Well, thanks so much for your time. I think these are some great tips, and hopefully this has been helpful for everyone. And we look forward to talking with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you. God bless everybody.
Thanks, everyone. This has been another episode of Friday Food Fights. My name is Wes Christian, and we will see you again next Friday at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care and have a great weekend.